I know what you're thinking. I don't really look like a Vanita, let alone Vanita Maxine. But my mom used it often when I was in trouble. Let me start with some background information that will serve to show you exactly where I came from and just how far I had to come with only a small glimpse of God in my life. My mom, Cindy, is one of three kids, but she has 12 aunts and uncles on one side and 7 on the other side. Big families in the Midwest help to keep the farms afloat. Her dad was a very heavy drinker and smoker all his life after he dropped out of school in 8th grade. My grandma was a quiet lady who loved to sew and do hair. They were hard on my mom as she was a very smart girl in school, but during that time in Moline, Illinois, education was not a priority for women. Both of my mom's brothers are also big drinkers and smokers and did their fair share of drugs. My biological dad is very dysfunctional, and I only know about it through newspaper articles and what my uncles have told me. My mom never talked about my dad much. She never wanted to pass her judgment of him onto us, so it was a mute topic in my house. My dad, Dwight, was one of 8. When he was in high school, his dad shot his mom and him, and then killed himself. My dad survived the shooting, but it tore the family apart and left most of them with severe mental trauma. All but 2 of the boys were sent to live with aunts and uncles. My dad was one of the 2 left behind. Dwight and my mom met in high school, and they were married when my mom was only 17. My mom's family took Dwight in and treated him like a son. Dwight took on similar habits as my grandfather and my uncles, lots of alcohol, smoking, and drugs. He served in Vietnam, where he was dishonorably discharged for violent behavior and selling drugs during his deployment. My mom and he were married for 4 years before they decided to have a family, and it was just me and my brother. But his abusive behavior towards my mom started long before that. My biological dad beat my mom for 10 years before she left and took my brother and I into hiding so he would not kill us. I only remember a few instances of abuse, but I will never forget it. My dad finally left the state, fleeing from the requirements of child support. We moved in with my grandparents for my kindergarten year of school. This is when I got my first glimpse of God. My grandma went to church every Sunday, and I was always invited. I loved to go sit in big church in my pretty dresses with my baby doll, and she took me to breakfast afterwards. No one else joined us except for Easter Sunday. Even after we moved out of my grandparents' house, I remained very close to them. My grandpa and I would sit and listen to baseball games on the radio, and I would fetch beers for him. We also vacationed with them, camping all over the whole country. They really filled the void of not having a father in my life, and I continued to go to church on Sundays with my grandma. After leaving their home, we lived in a duplex with one of my uncles and then into low-income apartments in East Moline. The schools I attended there were dominantly ESL, student-focused, and pretty rough. We were on our own as a family. My mom also enrolled my brother and I in soccer to keep us busy. My mom and my grandma were my biggest fans. My mom met David when I was in 2nd grade, and he moved in with us for a short time before we moved back to Moline, where the schools and the neighborhoods were better. The adjustment to better schools and having David in our lives so quickly was really hard on my brother, but I liked David a lot. He, like my grandpa, loved sports, so we would watch games on TV, and go to the local AAA baseball games as a family, and I would fetch him beers while we watched. It was a hard adjustment in school, but I was able to catch up. Unfortunately, the kids picked on me a lot because my name rhymes with a lot of fun things like Chiquita and Velveeta. And it didn't help that I preferred to dress like and play with the boys. I had my fair share of scuffles in elementary school. Having David in the house to help out my mom, my brother and I started playing other sports like baseball and basketball. Sports was my way to feel connected to David, and I had a crazy desire to do it all. Junior high, like it is for most, was a very emotional time. I fitted in school, but only on a court or a field. I got good grades and stayed out of trouble. And volleyball, basketball, soccer, softball, track, and cross country became my life. To add to the craziness, in eighth grade, my mom and David finally got married after being together for almost 5 years. As much as it was a roller coaster, I still went to church and breakfast with my grandma on Sundays to get that little glimpse of God, even if I had no idea what any of it meant. In high school, I was the ultimate jock, continuing to play all my sports, but I did it a lot to stay out of my house. My mom and David did not get along very well, and he drank even more. Their fighting felt like it was getting worse, but I think I just became more aware of it. I did all I could to stay away, and that's when I started to drink and party just like my family did. Unfortunately, I had a very high tolerance for liquor, and that just led to more parties and more drinking. My mom knew that I wanted to go out all the time, so she forced me to get a job. She says now it was to keep me busy. Sadly, I became too busy to go to church with my grandma. After graduation, I lived at home and worked for 2 years as I attended Blackhawk Junior College, then left for Illinois State University. In college, I actually quit playing all sports competitively, but I continued to drink. I worked 2 or 3 jobs to pay my school loans, my car, and my rent while taking 16 to 19 hours each semester. Guess where I worked? The bars. It was great money, and it allowed me to keep up the lifestyle that I loved. I always knew where the party was. I graduated college in 1999 with a bachelor's degree in junior high education and promptly left for the South, where there is no more snow. I got my first teaching job in San Antonio, just down the street from a great gym. Since I did not know anyone in San Antonio, I started working out a couple times a day. During this time alone, I actually remembered that small glimpse of God, and I found a church. I sat in the back row and didn't talk to anyone, but I had this tug on my heart to go. At the time, I wished Grandma was there to take me to breakfast. My second year of teaching in San Antonio, I ran into this cute guy at the gym, Sean. He asked me to a baseball game as a double date with my workout partner and his workout partner. We hit it off quick. I knew baseball and he loved the sport. I know it's said often, but it was like we just knew it was right. We didn't mess around though. We moved into an apartment together after only 2 months. Only there were a couple of major issues. I drank a lot and partied every weekend with my friends. And Sean was a recovering alcoholic of 6 months. Eventually he couldn't take it anymore and said that something was gonna have to give. That's when I quit drinking. I just stopped. Sean and I were engaged after a short 6 months of knowing each other, and we bought and moved into a house on the outskirts of San Antonio. This is at this time of great change. My friends and my lifestyle was in complete disarray. The people I used to be with all the time were less likely to invite me to come because I wasn't drinking anymore and therefore making them feel bad for drinking. Even though Sean and I were very happy, I missed my friends and felt very alone. In this time without all my friends, I started to ask Sean more about his faith. I thought that God might be able to fill this void, but I didn't know all the facts. Sean actually walked me through some of the Bible, and I was very curious about the whole baptism thing, as I went to a Methodist church where you were baptized at birth. Eventually, I asked the Lord into my heart and was baptized, not really realizing before this that asking and believing was all I had to do. I really had contemplated this decision for a long time, but I didn't want to say yes to God without understanding everything. How easy it was to just make that decision, to have him in my life by believing that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins, and on the third day, he was resurrected to life. He was really the only thing that could fill that void of friendship in my life. I was new with this whole interactive relationship thing with God, but I was eager to learn more. Sean and I got married exactly 1 year from the date that we met. And a month later, he found out he was being promoted and moving to Houston. I had told him before we tied the knot that I was willing to move anywhere as long as it did not snow there. Living in the Midwest for 21 years had scarred me for life. So we moved to Houston, found a great church home, and joined the best Bible study group ever. I was so engrossed in the Word and Bible studies. That's all I did except for intramural sports with my Bible study group. I was finally changing from only having a glimpse of God in my life to having a relationship with Him. After 2 years of teaching in Houston, we got pregnant with our first child, only to find out that Sean was being promoted to a job in Colorado. It snows there. I was trying to be the supportive wife now that I was learning about what real marriage commitment looked like through the eyes of our Creator, and started packing. This marriage relationship that God talks about in the Bible was nothing like the relationships I'd witnessed growing up. When Gentry was 8 weeks old, we packed up our Tahoe with her and the dog and headed west. We made short work of finding a church home and another great Bible study group. We fit in perfectly, just like at our church in Houston. I know now that God was really looking out for us because Sean's new job took him away 6 days a week. The women in my Bible study were always there. They kept me from being stuck in an apartment with a baby by myself. Most of them were moms too, so I learned a lot from them and continued to grow in my faith. As my faith was growing, my marriage was wavering. Sean was more and more distant, even when he was home. I was really trying hard to be a great mom and wife, but his absence was a huge factor in the state of our marriage. Less than a year, in the very snowy state of Colorado, we were pregnant and moving again. Yet another promotion for Sean that guaranteed no travel. So trying to be that Proverbs wife, I said, let's go, this time to Seattle. It snows there too. Arriving in Seattle, pregnant and with a toddler, as Sean was starting a new, even more demanding job, it was definitely trying for this stay-at-home mom. Luckily, I felt like God was still on my side. As I was being faithful to Him, I found another great group of women to worship with and do life. If you didn't catch that, I said I found that. Sean did not. He seemed to be slipping further and further away. He worked all the time, and then with his very free, limited time, he started coaching Little League baseball and football for some neighbor kids. I knew he loved coaching, so I supported him, but it was really wearing on me. Our marriage was still so amazing in comparison to those marriages around me growing up. We didn't yell and scream at each other, and we had the Lord in our lives. Not only does it snow in Seattle, it rains, and it gets dark at 3:30 in the afternoon for over half of the year. I was miserable, except for my neighbors and my Bible study friends. Sean would go to work before we got up and work until after we were in bed. And now I was home with Gentry and our newborn, Jaden. Our marriage was even more strained, but I kept my chin up and my nose in the Bible, reading book after book on being a wife and a mother. I read the book, The Power of a Praying Wife, over and over again, and I prayed. Seattle was just hard. I had a miscarriage in 2007, and it was devastating. But we knew we wanted more kids. I got pregnant with Gunner in 2008, and as much as I don't like to be pregnant, I was so thankful. Shortly before Gunner was born, my grandfather died. He had been like a father to me my whole life. Then we found out that there was a better job back in Houston where Sean would not have to work as much, but I would have to start over finding that amazing group of godly women to surround myself. Gunner was born in September of 2008, and 2 months later, we packed up all three kids and the dog and headed back to Houston. No snow. After a few months of corporate housing, nothing like three kids under five and a blind dog on a second story apartment complex. We got a house and moved in. All was going well. Sean was working crazy hours as a new manager of one of the largest branches in the company. The kids and I settled into routine and tried to plug into a church and Bible study. With three kids now, it was not as easy to find a place where I fit in. I tried a few Bible studies, but everything was so big, it was hard to find a close-knit group I immersed myself in raising the kids and being available for Sean if he needed anything. He seemed to be gone for longer and longer hours all the time. I was extremely lonely, but I kept trucking on. Then it happened. In 2010, I found out that my husband of 9 years had been lying to me. Not only had he been drinking, he had also had an affair. My life came crashing down on me. I didn't know what to do or what to say or how to act. All I knew was that our life together was over, and now I would have to start over and raise 3 kids by myself. So I went straight to the Bible. It will tell me to pack up my kids and get out, right? I looked up the word adultery in the back of my study Bible and was referred to John 8 through 11. I'll read it for you. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared in the temple court where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commands us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They were using the question to trap him in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one by one, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir." "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your sin." Are you kidding? That's what it said under adultery in the Bible. Sean, who wanted to make our marriage work, called an old friend from our Bible study back in 2001 and was put in contact with John Patchell. John's wife, Kim, was kind enough to reach out to me and try to help, but I was a mess, and I didn't want to talk about any of it with anyone other than my counselor. But she kept calling me and praying for me. I'm so thankful that she continued to call, because the days, weeks, and months that passed, I found more about Sean's other life. There were more affairs and drugs, too. I was stunned that the man I knew for 10 years had been lying to me for 7 of them. I hated Sean, but I knew that I was not in any state to be able to take care of our 3 kids. We decided on an in-home separation, where he would be home when I was not, and vice versa. We actually lived like that for over a year and a half. Both of us had our separate counselors and also did a 3-day counseling intensive where we went together. I spent hours and hours in my room alone writing to God. I didn't have many friends I was comfortable sharing this with, and I had been diagnosed with PTSD, which made me ultra nervous and anxious all the time. I couldn't eat or sleep, and I looked and felt terrible. My counselor told me to do something that made me feel strong so I could find my identity again. It had been lost in my kids and Sean. I took classes to become a group fitness instructor and got a job working out, which made me feel good again after 10 years of staying at home. It was the only place, other than my room, alone with God, that I felt normal. After lots and lots and lots of individual counseling and marriage counseling and a very crazy week at Mo Ranch. Sean and I began to work on our marriage. At Mo that year, we were still not speaking to one another and trying to still spend time with our kids. Sean was feeling better now that he had no secrets weighing him down anymore and shared with everyone how he was an addict and that he'd been unfaithful. I was mortified. I tried to hide, but the people of Mo, many of you here, kept trying to get me to engage. We met so many friends that supported us here at CBMC, including John and Kim, who were our guardian angels. Yeah, I stayed. I could have left. It does actually say I can do that in the Bible. But it's not what God led me to do. Our marriage, since all of this, is even stronger. We may not have taken the road that the world would have chosen for us, but it's the one that God designed specifically with us in mind. There's always work to be done to improve our marriage, and we aren't finished yet. My story only gets better. Not only are Sean and I stronger, our family is stronger too. We even went to Indonesia last summer to do his work in a country under Muslim rule. Our family can't wait until the next time we get an opportunity to be his hands and feet. And we try to live that way even in Katy, Texas. As far as how life has been since, I, a busy mom of three kids that have cheerleading, soccer, baseball, volleyball, basketball, softball, football, and many more activities, continue to grow closer to him. I don't spend my nights alone with him writing to God anymore, but every morning I wake up to his word to get me started. Without it, my day feels off balance, and I have to clumsily try to navigate it on my own. With the word, I feel like I can accomplish my day under his umbrella of protection and guidance. Remember how I grew up with only a small glimpse of God in my life? It's no longer small. Both of my parents have become believers, and all of my kids believe and are learning to walk in his path through their lives. We continue to serve in the children's ministry at our church, and even in my job as a fitness instructor, I'm able to speak the truth to people. Maybe I can be that small glimpse of God in their lives that can carry them through to eternity with our most perfect Father. Yeah.